They're gonna bother you. All right. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 1. I'm going to skip around just a little bit, but I want to build something to hopefully put together exactly what God wants us to hear. So the 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1, if you have the strength to please stand, as our custom here in this church, to stand for the reading of the word of the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20 and verse 1 begins, and it says, "It came to pass after this that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites," now pay attention here, "they came against Jehoshaphat to battle." So you have a multiplicity of people that have come to attack and come against the people of God. And we'll say, that's me. All right, now verse 2, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude." So we already got a group of people, but now we got even now a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side, Syria. And behold, they be in Hazan Zar Tamar, which is in Engedi. Now skip down to verse 14. Verse 14. "Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation." Now, the reason why the Spirit of God moved is because there was a specific prayer that Jehoshaphat began to pray in the middle of the battle. If we can learn how to pray specific things in the middle of the battle, the Spirit of God, the next thing by natural default is going to be the Spirit of God is going to show up. How many need the Spirit of God to show up in the middle of your battle? "And he hearkened, and he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude." Why? "For the battle is not yours, but God's." Hallelujah. So it's God's battle. In verse 16, "Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle." Some of you are fighting battles that you don't need to fight. Wrestling against things you don't need to wrestle against. "Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. So a spirit of worship naturally moves upon those that get revelation. You can only really move into worship until you get revelation of who your God is and what he's about to do to you. When you are really going through something and God brings a word of promise to your life, the natural position is a position of, "I worship you. God, I'm not worthy for what you're about to do in my life." So all then, verse 18, because the leader did it, then all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and did what? Worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to what? Come on, to what? Why are they praising God? Because they understand God's about to do something. The question is, has God moved yet? According to this story, has God moved yet? Has God answered? Has God killed the enemy yet? But before it happened, they already began to praise God because they got a word from the Lord. Come on, somebody. They stood up. So they stood up to praise the Lord with a quiet voice. What did they have, Brother Wheeler? A loud voice. A loud voice. And they rose early in the morning. When you're depressed, you don't want to get up. Am I talking to anybody?
When you're depressed, you want to sleep all day. You want to sleep your problems away. You want to sleep the heaviness away. You want to sleep with the distractions that come upon you. You got enemies you know are attacking you, so you don't want to wake up with the joy of the Lord because you know what's about to face you. But when you get a word from God, you hit that alarm clock early. You beat the snooze button because you know God's about to show up today in my life. I'm ready to magnify and praise God for what He's about to do in my life. I wake up with the joy. Why? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is on the way. Joy is coming. Joy is about to show up in this house. So they got up early in the morning to face their enemy. Isn't that a different mindset than hiding? But to get up and say, devil, I'm waiting on you. When are you going to show up? God's about to move in my life. They went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat, the leader, stood up and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper. There are two things going to happen when you begin to put your faith in God, in the word of God. Number one is you are going to be established. Number two, you're going to what? How many needs to prosper in your life? How many are ready for some prosperity move in your life? Come on, how many some doors to open prosperity in your life? Health and wealth and favor and the blessings of God. Peace upon your mind. I know we all want the favor of God. We want the prosperity of God. And when he had consulted with the people, so as I'm preaching, guess what? I'm consulting with you. I'm asking you. I'm engaging you. I'm talking to you. I'm consulting. I'm saying, appoint singers to the Lord that they should what? Praise the beauty of his holiness. His what? Holiness. So there's a word again. And as they went out before the army and to say, praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Last verse. And when they began to praise and sing, not when they began to fold their arms and say, I wonder what's going to happen next. But when they begin to engage in the belief that God's about to show up. Come on, somebody, clap your hands. Get engaged with me. Come on, like you believe what God's about to do. While they begin to sing and to praise with a loud voice, the Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon and Moab, Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Judah didn't lift up one hand, one sword. They just lifted up their voice. And so long as you're going to praise on the inside of you, God is going to fight your battles. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want the glory of God to fill this place. We want, oh God, every individual to be educated and understand there's a reason to praise. There's a reason to shout. There's a reason to clap their hands. There's a reason to get excited about what God's about to do. You are about to tear down walls, remove our battles and our strongholds today in Jesus' name. Clap your hands as you are seated here in the house of God. All right. This is part two. Since you guys love that title so much, The Devil's a Dummy. This is part two. The Lord said, continue that thought. Part two, but the clause is, I'm desperate, so it just makes sense to praise. Are you with me? I'm desperate, so it just makes sense to praise. Now, we're going to be swimming deep this morning, so stay with me. It is not new news that the enemy has come to push us around and try with various issues and forces to keep us from walking with confidence in God. Again, I reiterate, he uses deception, trickery, lies to keep us from operating in a level of faith that allows us to believe that God can help us overcome in all situations. It is the scheming of the enemy to cause us to feel helpless, and he can only get us to feel helpless if our faith in God is wavering. It is a trap of the enemy to feed us lies that make us feel so vulnerable that we lose heart, even because when things are going well, in some of our minds, we just think, well, how long is this goodness going to last? There's always a fear that even though things are going good, that something worse is going to make a turn and then turn it around for worse. Someone say amen.
Even Job said, what I feared most has happened to me. It is the thought that the hand of God was not able to stop something from happening. And when those somethings happen, our faith in God is now being tested. And we know that Job passed the test. But what I want to bring to our attention is that even though Job was our example, and even though he passed the test, it cannot be overlooked that Satan's desire was to make Job so vulnerable that he would mentally break down and then lose his faith in God. That is the desire of the devil, to cause you to lose down and break down mentally, that will cause you to lose faith in your God to keep you in the middle of your storm and then curse him to his face. It is the workings of the enemy then and now that would love to keep every one of us from gaining greater understanding about God. Satan, then, we find that he is in the scripture, and the word of God tells us that God is the word, which then in turns combats and defeats all of his underminings. The word of God usurps the attacks of the devil.
I think I should get an amen right there.
We found out real quick that in the story, we know Job began with the enemy trying to work on him, but there were certain things that Job did that made Satan, who is a what? Thank you very much. Irrelevant. There were certain things that Job did that made Satan, who is a dummy, irrelevant. In fact, as you continue to read through a book that has over 40 chapters, you don't hear one word from the mouth of Satan, because the way you shut the mouth of your enemy is say, I refuse to curse God and die, but if I came in naked, the naked I'm going to leave, but what I will do, I will bless the Lord at all times. What am I saying already? So long there's a praise in your spirit, you will always have the upper hand against your enemy to shut his lying mouth up in the name of Jesus. If you have a demonic spirit fighting you, negativity fighting you, then learn how to bless the Lord. Know how to say hallelujah. And your hallelujah is just the mouth of your enemy.
I'm not ever saying that he's not there. I'm not ever saying he's not working. I'm not saying that he's just going to go on vacation when it comes to our lives. I'm just saying that you have to have your attention more on God than you will find out. There's not even room to consider Satan anymore, because God and the way he works can use Satan for my good. I'm reiterating that because I want that to get deep down in your soul, so that when you're going through the trials and tribulation of your life and you want to point it towards the devil, I say go ahead and point to him. But then point up and look to where your help comes from. It might be the devil's attack. It might be him trying to move in my life. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I'm ready for God to show up and show off and show he's greater than my enemy. I don't know about you all, but I want in every one of us a similar mentality that Jesus had. We say to be more and more like Jesus. Well, his disciples made a big old deal that they had power to cast out demons. And we know the scripture, Luke 10:17 says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, that's wonderful, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I will give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing that I'm dealing with, nothing in my mind, nothing in my spirit, nothing in my home, nothing in my health, nothing in my mind, come on somebody, nothing by any means shall hurt me. I will not be hurt if I have the power of God in my life. Notwithstanding, he says, I don't want you to rejoice only in that. In this, he says, don't even rejoice if there's power. Now come on somebody, I got power to shred on scorpions and demonic influences, and God tells me don't rejoice in that. What is he trying to say then? What does he want me to say? He says that the spirits are subject to you. He says, but I rather you rejoice because your names are written in heaven. He was saying, I want your focus and your rejoicing not to be on the things that are beneath you. The Lord says, that's just the way it is. That ain't no big deal that you got power. Oh, y'all ain't even hearing what I'm saying right now. God himself is saying, it ain't a big deal to conquer the devil who's under your feet. Don't make a big hoopla about that. Lord, I want your eyes on the heavenlies. I want your eyes looking up. I know the devil might be against you, but I want you to ignore him and keep your eyes on me. If you can ignore the spirits of the enemy and get your eyes on your God, there ain't nothing that he can do to you. He's saying your focus of rejoicing must be on eternal things. Scripture teaches us, and I want to teach you as best I can, to have the correct perspective concerning things in your life. And in order to have the right perspective, now I'm going to teach you a little bit here, stay with me, you have to have the right thinking. You cannot have the right perspective if you don't have the right thinking. God does absolutely, and don't let me lose you here, want us to walk with him even from a philosophical point of view. Don't get scared of that word. Stay with me. Philosophical is relating or devoted to the study of the fundamental nature, reality, and existence of something. Number two, having or showing a calm attitude towards, I had no idea this is what that word meant, having a calm attitude towards disappointments and difficulties. Has anybody ever been disappointed here today? Has anybody have difficulties in your lives? And so he's saying, I want you to have a philosophical point of view that you can have calmness in the middle of battles all around you. I don't know about you, I want calm in the middle of my storm. Somebody might say, well, that process does not belong in the kingdom of God. I beg to differ. Romans 7:23. But I see another law. And we'll say another law. In my members, warring against the law of my mind. That Greek word is nuos, praise God, for mind. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. These are the things in our flesh that war against our mind. Things that are going on in my flesh are warring against my intellect. Stay with me here. And it is, if it's successful in my mind, then that's what's going to bring me into captivity or bondage to the law of sin and defeat. And a defeatism mentality that things are not going to get better. I can't come out of this. Let me tell you, with God, all things are possible. And when that is what I do naturally, he says, I do naturally the things that I don't want to do. That is when I naturally want to let go of certain things. Please hear me this morning. But I don't let go of certain things. There's some things that I struggle with, some addictions I have, some sins I constantly find myself falling back into. I'm telling you, I got a word for you today. Today is your day of deliverance if you would hear the word of God today. Because God's will is not for anybody to be bound by any yoke of addiction, anything that will keep you from your progressive walk. Come on, somebody hear what I'm telling you. There is no addiction, no problem, no drug, no cigarette, nothing that can stop God from taking you where he wants you to go. Is there anybody that believes that there's a delivering power for God here in this place that wants to shake us out of our natural issues and propel us to spiritual overcoming power and glory? That is why I can feel shackled when I'm supposed to feel free. Because there is a war going on between my physical being and my spiritual being. Romans 7:25. I thank God through Christ our Lord. So then that with the mind. Everyone say mind. I might serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. So there's a war in my mind and my flesh warring against each other. And I'm trying to get my mind on God, my belief system on God. And he says, it is the mind that is war with the flesh. And is a kind of thoughts that take place that will determine if I'm going to overcome or not. The way you know you will overcome or not will be because what your thoughts are, what you're thinking about, what you are believing. Let me explain this a little bit further. The mind is a place that truly is not operating in the natural. The mind is a place where imaginations and thoughts and creative agents work, because the mind has been able to create and imagine things that at one time did not exist. I gave you the example before. This physical thing did not start as a physical thing. It started in the mind of somebody first. Something happened in the spiritual world first before it was able to take place in the natural way. And God is trying to get a hold of our spiritual minds to say, if you can get what I'm trying to tell you in the spirit, then your whole natural point of view will be turned around. When you can get a hold of God in your mind, there ain't nothing in the natural environment can stop you from continuing to progress, because whatever happens in the natural, you can combat it in the spiritual, because you got a war inside of your words from the thoughts that come from God. And so long as I have the mind of God, I can overcome any natural thing that, oh, I hope I'm not preaching too deep here this morning. What we must get a hold of in the spiritual is saying, God, get a hold of my mind, that when anything in the natural comes, I can speak the thoughts of God and see it removed in the name of Jesus. It is the logos of the thoughts of God that allow creation to unfold. We know that thoughts came from his mind, and that mind was beginning to speak things into existence. But yet in the flesh, it is the place of limitation, because flesh continues to operate on what is in front of us. Flesh continues to focus on the physical. What is physically tangible, what is around me right now, the flesh operates on such a low level of immediate sensory, and therefore by nature will be limited to the law of sin, because the flesh wants things to satisfy it and gratify it now. And when we live a life focused on the flesh and focus on the right now, then it's hard to trust God when your surroundings and the things you see in the natural present circumstances that are not correct. So you take your eyes off of the spiritual and you keep your eyes on the natural, and you just block God. You just blocked God. And then you go around in circles frustrated because you can't get out of it. But God says, you didn't put me in it. You put your circumstances above what I'm able to do. That's why you got to look up to the hills from which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord. And it won't matter what environment you're in. You know, if I get a word from God, it won't matter. The spiritual will always trump the physical. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your nuance, of your mind, that ye may prove that is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. This is an admonition from Paul through the Holy Ghost to be transformed. That word literally means to be different. The world is in a chaotic mindset. The world is confused. But if I have the mind of God, I'm different. I don't operate the same way they do. You say, well, how am I knowing that I am different? Don't do what the world does. Don't conform yourself to depression. Don't conform yourself to self-gratification. Don't conform yourself to self-abuse and a feeling of hopelessness. But in the middle of your mess, give glory and honor and praise to your God. Change your mentality and say, in the middle of my mess and in my mind, I bless the Lord with all that is within me. I know it don't make sense, but my mind understands there's a deeper place I'm trying to get to. And so it might not look like I'm an overcomer. I'm going to praise him before I ever overcome, because I'm creating my atmosphere. Isaiah 26 and 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Your intellect and your understanding can only come from the one who created all things. You can't get it by yourself. You'll keep trying and you will keep beating your head against the wall trying to figure it out in the natural sense. But we know all things were created through his word. And so if I keep my mind, my thoughts, and my intellect on him, then by default, I will get a hold of him and I can operate on a new level in my life. See, I'm talking to people here because it might not be for everybody. I'm talking to people that are ready to go to a new level in maturity in God to walk more. Is there anybody here that says, I'm not going to stand that shallow level that every time something happens to me, I lose my faith. But I'm going to go to a higher level that praise is on the inside. And I'm going to start walking in my anointing. I'm going to start walking in my calling. I'm going to walk in my destiny that I will not be able to move. And how does it come from? The Bible says, faith coming by hearing and by hearing the word of God. And so I pray that as the word of God is going forth, faith is arising in this place. And somebody is getting stirred up right now in the Holy Ghost and saying, I feel something about to move in my spirit that I did not feel was going to move before. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but it is written, I have not seen, nor have ear heard, neither have it entered the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. It goes on to say, but God hath revealed. Because when you're beginning to go deeper in God, God has to reveal it to you. And I'm going to tell you right now in plain English, he ain't going to reveal it to those that don't want it. Things that are revealed for by God are by those that say, God, give me everything that you got from my mind. I can't keep living in this old mindset. I want to put on the new mind, the mind of Christ. And God said, if you're hungry, I'm ready to fill your mouth up, fill your mind up, fill your spirit up. I'm going to tear somebody up right now, upside down. Anybody who's hungry, anybody who's ready, I'm going to reveal it. But how am I going to reveal it? The Bible says, I'm going to reveal it by my spirit. So unless you got the Holy Ghost, you can't get what I'm trying to preach. But the Holy Ghost is for everybody this morning. The Spirit of God for everybody this morning. God wants to fill everybody this morning. Are you hungry for revelation this morning? Are you hungry for more of God to speak into your spirit? Are you hungry for God to turn some stuff around in your mind? Are you ready to go to a new level? The Spirit of God's about to pour out something so deep in this house for whoever will call the name of the Lord. Watch the middle part of this verse. The Bible says, see, sometimes we always think that it is us seeking the spiritual things. But the beach of scripture tells me that it's not just me seeking spiritual things. But the Bible says, for the spirit searches for things. The spirit is trying to search for somebody that will get connected to it. That's why we all say you got to make yourself a magnet to the spirit. God is a respecter and he's a gentleman. He won't force himself on anybody. So when the spirit is moving, he's only moving to those that are attracting themselves. Oh, I feel like preaching so many things right now. That's why the woman with the issue of blood got virtue, because there was something in her spirit that was calling. The spirit of God said, I feel a force. I know I'm supposed to go over there, but there's a force pulling me. You gotta have a force in you that pulls God's spirit, and you ain't gonna get it with a closed mouth. You gotta say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. He said, for the spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The word deep by denotion tells you there's a shallow. I have to ask myself a question, and you must be the same. Am I in deep waters or am I in shallow waters? You got to ask yourself that. Am I on a shallow walk with God, or am I trying to swim to deeper levels in God? I want everybody in this place to say, come on, raise your hand. God, wherever I'm at, help me go deeper. Come on, say it yourself. Come on, I'm trying to pull it out of you. I told you I got to interact with you today. Come on, say, God, let me go to deeper places. I got to go further, God. I want my life to be different than what it's been. Take me deeper, Lord God, in the spirit. For what man knoweth man? That is to perceive, to be aware, to consider. Can I say, to be in the action of mind of things of man, save the spirit of man? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man. No man knows the things of God, but the spirit of God.
There has to be a spiritual connection today. You won't get what I'm saying if you don't get a spiritual connection. You'll leave the same way you came in here if you keep the mind and the carnal mind of your flesh. But if you're somebody here that wants spiritual things, God says today is your day for you to tap into some deeper things. Verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world is carnal. The spirit of the world is lazy. The spirit of the world is apathetic. But the spirit of God is here, that we might know the things that are freely given to us from God. When you get involved with the Spirit, a door opens up where you say, I see what God has for me, and whatever God has for me, I want it. Whatever God desires for me, I gotta have it. But the natural man, it says, we speak not the words of man's wisdom teaching, but that the Holy Ghost. There's something that can only be received by the Holy Ghost. I can preach my heart out. You won't get it except you're desiring the Spirit of God to give it to you. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You got to go beyond the carnal man. You got to go beyond the natural senses, what you feel, what kind of mood you're in. You got to start blocking that stuff out right now if you're going to get what I'm preaching. You got to get out of your flesh right now. Get out what's going on tomorrow in your life. But say, today, God, I'm going to have a spiritual connection. I'm going to have a spiritual appointment. Something is going to be received in my spirit before this is over. But the natural man received not the Spirit of God. I didn't get it. I didn't get service today. Maybe you wasn't in the Spirit. I didn't feel God's presence. Maybe you didn't tap into the Spirit. Maybe you just wanted somebody to force feed it. No, you got to go after it yourself. How come week by week somebody else being touched and I never get touched? I asked you, how much are you seeking God? How much are you focused in on touching Him? How much are you hungry? How desperate are you today? He says, they are foolishness unto them. Sometimes when you preach, and I'm talking to most of you, but sometimes when you preach, you got people looking at you crazy because they don't understand a word you're saying. Guess what? I got Bible for you. They're foolishness to you because you cannot know them. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. There's things that I'm spitting out that you're not going to get unless you are tapping into the Spirit. Amen. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judges, which means scrutinizes. That is, by implication, you are investigating. You are interrogating. You are determining. You are asking questions. You are engaging. You are involved. You are examining. You are discerning, again, the Scriptures, and saying, let that be operating in my mind. Verse 16, for who have known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of the Lord. So putting all of this together, we need to realize that it's through the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, that is teaching us and helping us renew our minds to operate on a higher level of faith in him. It is the mind and the intellect that is in more agreement with the Word and the Spirit than by what we can see. Are you still with me? Bible says the carnal mind or the carnal purpose is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That is to have an increased knowledge of his nature, character, and attributes. I said all of that to take you where I'm taking you. In order for God to get our attention, our minds have to be on him. And even though we face things, this is how God works. For God to get the attention of our minds and to get us to know him better, he has to allow us to go through things that he can put us in a position that we can fear. God allows and puts us in a position that we have the ability where we can fear. Stay with me. I didn't say it was God that gives us fear or makes us fear, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, joy, and a sound mind. But how can God give us that and a sound mind if life situations that come try to do the opposite of that? There has to be a dichotomy. There has to be a contrast. God will allow you to be put in positions where we can option fear, but we say no because he wants to show himself strong in your life right now. So in our text, Jehoshaphat was a good king. Yet a good king with good principles, good morals, found himself with all forces coming up against him. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You do the best you can, but yet all forces are attacking you from every which way. It is interesting then that we find that he was in a dire situation previous to this one. This was not his first encounter with negativity or problems or battles. God brought him out before, but now he's in a grave situation again. Is there anybody here that says, man, I just came out of a battle. I just came out of a fight, and here I am fighting a new devil, fighting a new problem, fighting a situation that happened again. But let me tell you, God is going to do it again. God's going to come through for you again, because we find here in the story there was a particular situation he had, and everybody has things happen to them, and then there is a reaction that we give. People are reactionaries by the context of our nature. Sir Isaac Newton said, who put a label on it as a law, he established this, the third law. It states, I quote, "For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction," unquote. Science was not my best school subject in school. And I tried to then put it in layman terms for you, if you can relate to me. What he was saying is that force is when an object has either a pull or a push against it, and there's going to be an equal level of movement or reaction against it. The point I want to make to you is the devil has been putting force upon us, and he's tried to make us think that we can't have any other reaction but to quiver, to worry, to fret, and lose faith in God. And I know what I'm talking about. He tries to convince us that when something in the natural comes into our lives, we must react always with a negative response when it happens. That we absolutely have to lose our intellectual understanding about God when the trial comes. We lose our mind, so to speak. Because the natural is pointing disappointment at us. Because darkness is forcing its hand through the world we live in. But I'm here to tell somebody before the service is over that we can no longer keep on reacting in a negative way. But the forces against us needs to be an actual force that we go against it. And that reaction is praise. And that's why I say I'm desperate. That's why I gotta praise. I'm desperate. And the normal thing for me to do is to cry and sob and keep on having a pity party about it. But because I'm desperate, I can't do that anymore. That when things are pushing against me, because I'm desperate, I've gotta praise. Because I'm going through something, I gotta shout. Because I'm facing a whole lot of mess, I must change my normal reactions. And I gotta say hallelujah. I gotta say, Lord, I gotta have you. God, I'm desperate. I've got to praise. I've got to worship. I gotta convey spiritual faith. I gotta convey a spiritual desire that I won't be what I used to be. I'm gonna clap my hands in my trial. Come on, somebody, get what I'm saying. If you're going through something, stand on your feet, clap your hands, and say, Jesus, I praise you. Jesus, I gotta have your spirit. When I am overwhelmed, I got great multitude coming against my life. All kind of problems in my home, in my mind, in my finances. The whole sea was filled on the side of Syria, and behold, host of army. The first reaction Jehoshaphat had, number one, hear me now, is he feared and sought the Lord. If a spirit comes upon you about something that happens to you, what's the first thing that you do? Do you stop and you seek the face of God? I'm going to preach to somebody. I'm desperate. I've got to praise. When that fear comes upon my life, I'm going to stop and raise my hands. I'm going to put on some music. Praise God, Brother Jason. I appreciate you. Praise God. In your house the other day, you put on that song. And I looked at the corner of my eye, and you were moving like this. And you were praising God. And the atmosphere was changing. Can I tell somebody, you want your atmosphere to change? You got to engage in praise. You got to engage in worship. You got to engage. Hallelujah. You got to open your mouth and praise your Lord. You won't get what you go get if you don't praise the name of Almighty God. The second thing he did is what we need more of here in this church. He gathered others to join with him. Brother Wilson, you feel a shout in your step. You feel like running. You grab somebody and you get them to shout along with you. We need us to fight together as an army together. If you feel the Holy Ghost, then start grabbing somebody's hand and say, you go be by me. You go praise with me. You ain't going to sit on my aisle dead. You ain't going to come on somebody. We go bless the Lord together. We go praise the Lord together. We go shout together. We go sing together. What Jehoshaphat did, he said, I'm not going to do it by myself. We're going to both praise God. The third thing he did, he stood in the house of the Lord. Some of you sit too much. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to exercise your faith that you say, I got to get up. I'm going to praise my God. He's a personal Savior. He's a personal God. I'm going to stand up. Come on, this is your cue. I don't know how easy to say it. Stand on your feet and give God real praise. Stand on your feet. Stand in the house of God and bless your Lord. And say, Lord, you are my help. You are my strength. Now, he feared the Lord. He sought the Lord. He gathered others to join with them. I'm not going to do this by myself. Why am I preaching so hard? I know what Jehoshaphat did. I'm not going to get the breakthrough by myself. I want you to get it too. He stood in the house of the Lord. Number four, he prayed a prayer of intellectual understanding. I didn't read the whole thing, but in that 6 through 20 of 2 Chronicles, verse 6, he says, O Lord, God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? That's an intellectual mindset right here. Don't you rule over all the kingdoms of the earth? Do you see how he's talking to God? He's like, come on, God, aren't you God? You can start talking to God that way. You got all these problems, and you talk so fearful, you talk so negative. How about you talking with some intellectual understanding about your God? Hey, God, you're the God of all glory. And in thine hand there's power and might. There's none able to withstand thee. Verse 7, art thou not our God who did drive out the inhabitants of the land before thy people Israel and gave it to the seed Abraham, thy friend forever? He said, what I'm seeing and what your word is saying is not lining up. So, God, I'm going to call you out. God's not afraid for you to call him out. Say, God, what's going on in my natural is not lining up with your word. And you put God in a box or in a corner, so to speak. He prayed intellectually. God, what I'm seeing is not lining up with your word. Practice that. God, what I'm seeing is not lining up to your word. God didn't smite him dead because he did that. God is like, oh, I like this. He's putting me to test. My word that cannot be voided out, that will do wherein where I sent it. So it's about people activating the word of God against what they see in the natural. Verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. I'm honest. I can't beat this thing by myself. Are you honest before God? Are you keeping it real before God? You got struggles, you got things and addictions you can't beat by yourself? Then activate the word of God and say, God, I can't do it by myself. Neither know we what to do. Our eyes are on thee. I don't have the answer. I don't have the solution, but I know where my eyes are at. I don't have a solution right now for the thing I'm dealing with, but my eyes are upon thee, God. My focus is upon you, God. My attention is upon you, God. And then we go down to verse 13. And Judah stood up before the Lord with their little ones, with their wives, with their children. I can picture the scene. They got, come on, guys, let's all get together. And the Bible says in verse 14, then because they had that faith, the Spirit of God began to move. So when you put things in order, God says, now my spirit sees you in the right place for your miracle. Who feels like they're right now, they're in the right place for your miracle? And now the Spirit of God begins to move in the middle of the congregation. And that's the wonderful thing I like to see in the Word of God. It does not just move upon one person. I'm glad Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah got it. But not only did it start with him, it did not finish with him. When it began to move on one person, it began to spread throughout the entire congregation. That's why worshipers, don't you stop worshiping. Spirit-filled people, don't you hold back. Don't you get quiet. Don't you get lax. It will take you ushering somebody else into the presence of Almighty God. And now when the Spirit of God begins to move, something move upon him and said, the battle is not yours, it's God's. Now he says, I will take onus of the responsibility. Can I tell somebody, I might be desperate, so I gotta praise, I gotta magnify the Lord, because God is about to show up on your behalf right now. If you want a miracle, stand on your feet, clap your hands and say, Lord, I'm desperate for a move of God. I'm desperate for your word. I'm desperate for a breakthrough. I'm desperate for a miracle. I'm desperate for deliverance. I need a move of God in my life. Come on right now. Open up your mouth and say, Lord, I'm desperate. The Bible says you will not fight this battle. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of your Lord. Brother Hannah, get God is fighting for us ready. Pushing back the darkness, ready to go. He says, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, Monday, when you're not in church. That's the kind of preacher I am. I'm not a Sunday preacher. I'm a Tuesday through Saturday preacher. Monday through Saturday preacher. Of course you're getting the Holy Ghost in here. All these sanctified people in this room. Hallelujah. I got to empower you for when we're not all here together. Tomorrow, you're going to go out to battle. Tuesday, you're going to face a storm. On Wednesday, something's pulling at you. On Thursday, your job is doing something to you. On Friday, the kids are driving you crazy. On Saturday, you get a letter in the mail. Come on, you got things that are going to bombard you all week long. But God says, the devil's a dummy. I got a solution for those that will praise. I got a solution of those that will magnify my name. If you want a miracle right now, come down to this altar and we're going to praise the name of the Lord. We're going to open up my mouth and we're going to bless the Lord. Get yourself ready to praise the name of the Lord and say, God, I'm desperate, so I got to praise. I'm desperate, I'm going to praise your name.